questions online?
Mark Stiles is typing.
Hmm?
Mark Stiles is typing, so I believe he's in.
Okay.
So I can ask it. Oh. So just report that work on by Aristotle you mentioned, that's not by him, right?
Hmm?
I mean, on the death, I can't remember. It was like on
no. The Liber de Pomo is not an Aristotelian work at all. No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
But it's already interesting enough that it's supposed to be a sort of biography of Aristotle. So mm-hmm. if it's not, even if it doesn't convey any Aristotelian information or any Aristotelian theory at all, and it's seriously doubted this, it can't be Aristotelian at all, but it's considered as a sort of Aristotelian biography. So to say, it's a proof of what a wise person as Aristotle's would do while dealing with death. So in a sense, it's sort of it's an opposition to a Christian way or to deal with death, or as an anticipation of what a Christian should have done. But you have the examples mm-hmm. given by a pagan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it almost sounds like his lost dialogues, but I doubt it would be that. But anyways.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Is Mark a side question there?
Mm-hmm. So Mark asks, he states, we can find particular teachings about body souls in these sources, but if a preacher, perhaps on a Saturday night, was anxious to finish his sermon, would he have quickly found talking points in any of these tools? It seems to me that a preacher using the Manipulus Forum would have had to wade through many randomly arranged quotations. Was the arrangement of entries in your preacher's tool more user-friendly? For example, Bramyar's entries are arranged logically in sections that suggest sermon outlines. And also he says excellent paper.
Thank you. So the first question is, how to access, so I summarize, so how it's possible to access those preaching tools quickly and effectively for the preparation of a sermon. I believe that this question can be answered in two different ways. In the first way, according to the content. At least the two works I have examined are structured in a way that you have they start with the source and with an extremely precise reference to the source, and then you have the complete passages, the passage almost without re-elaboration or without paraphrasing. So that the preacher finds immediately what he wants. But it's on the other side, what the preacher finds and can use quickly and effectively is not a passage as such, because you can't repeat the whole passage, for instance, in a lay sermon. But you can grasp immediately what is said, and then you have to reuse it by yourself. This is, I believe, what happened in such kind of text. So in a way, it's quickly and effectively in finding information, but on the other side, it's difficult, or it can be difficult, and not that effective, the reuse of that information. I hope it answers in partly the question. Second way you can answer this question is mostly codicological and paleographic. And this, the secret about Madame Jimenez knows better than myself and Chris as well. The real secret is also in the structure of the page and in the page layout. The entries are structured in a way, or should be structured in a way, it's like the same problem with the gloss ordinario, in a way that you can easily spot the start and the end of the quotations in a long entry and go right away. What Richard and Mary Rouse said as well. You can go right away to the point you need. And that means presence of initial letters. You know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the entry is immediately summarized. Anima. So you know it's soul, and it's not something else. There should be ways, and there are ways, to emphasize the reference to the source, underlining the source, for instance. You know, you're an anima, you need an Aristotelian quotation, Aristotle's libro, De Anima, libro secundo, capitolo, blah, blah. And you know, this is the point. Then if it's useful for you, for the content, it's another problem, but you know at least where to find Aristotle and what. If you search from the keyword, starting from the keyword and not from the author, you have other way to attract your other paratextual elements to attract your attention. For example, the marginal note. Anima, I don't know, eternitas, anime eternitas, anime puritas, or whatever it is. And you have the so-called pied de mouche, paragraph signs, that separates the different entries. Mm-hmm. So you know where to find and what you want immediately. This doesn't mean that the re-elaboration can be so effective, but at least the process of finding is supported both from content and from the page structure and layout. So I don't know if it answers the questions. I'm ready to continue the discussion, but I think these two aspects should be considered, should be taken into account in full. Rearrangement of quotations. If I understood well, is how the references were rearranged. Well, the process I could see especially in the Lumen Anime is a thematic rearrangement. Emphasizing different clusters. Different clusters, each of which is represented by 1, 2, 3 representative quotations. This is what I can see. But I guess, was the process that happened. So coming from authorities to content structure or content clusters or informational data clusters. However, I should say that this is a modern way to approach this entrance. So I see a path going through this entrance because of these clusters of information of data, but I can't guarantee 100% that is valid in this entries, is valid for each author, and is valid throughout the text. There might be entries that are really difficult to summarize from the point of view of the content. I don't know if I'm expressing myself clearly enough. From the point of view of the content, or where you have to keep the authority sequence because it's the only one that works. Rearrangement. Again, I should look at the manuscript to see if this clusters, this rearrangement according to clusters I see from the content, by isolating keywords, which explains this blue, this horrible clear blue, is supported by the structure of the manuscript, which means was the intention right from the start to structure as it was, and it was understood and respected. Because, for instance, for the glossa ordinaria, you see that splitting the commentary in small parts, of course, is fighted against in the beginning, because people say, no, we don't want it, we want continuous commentary. But then when it's it affirms itself, goes on, and is more or less respected. Juridical books, same thing. At the moment when you start having glosses in accompanying the text, then they stay as they are. They change contents, but the glosses is there. So I can't, for the moment, I can't see whether this structure is something we create and we apply, or if it's really meant to be from the point of view of the content and from the point of view of the structuring manuscript. It needs further research. I hope it's comprehensible enough.
I've got one more question.
Is that from Mark again?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Oh boy, that's a big question. perhaps we can. I know our coffee came,
yes.
And yesterday they took it away because we didn't get there in time. So I suggest maybe we go and grab a cookie and a fresh cup of coffee and bring it back for Alan's presentation.
Yes.
And perhaps Mark can follow up with that question with you directly.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you mind just saying that into the camera so that he can hear you? Because we can't hear what Dr. Nyman says. Just to let him know that you're
here. Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Seeds Coffee is coming, and we don't want to risk that it's taken away. Moreover, I've taken a lot of time from my colleague, and I sincerely apologize for that. We go and have coffee, but we can continue the conversation via email or via Skype or whichever form you like the best. Thank you.